Ready? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus, grateful, Heavenly Father, for an opportunity to hear from you. These people here and those online did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, dear Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we all have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Father, we appreciate you so much. We're so grateful, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you that your word will not return unto you void. It shall accomplish that which you please and will prosper in the hearts of the people you're sending it. Father, I pray this not for New Day alone, but right next door is Corona Friends Church. Father God, we have North Point Church right down the street. We have the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, Heavenly Father, the Methodist Church, Heavenly Father. Pour your spirit out upon Connection Church this morning, upon New Hope, Heavenly Father, and all the churches here in Corona, upon Crossroads, Heavenly Father, upon South Hills. And we just thank you, Father, for the 90,000 that live in our city that don't know you, that they come to know you, Father God. We thank you that Corona is saved, that the Inland Empire is saved, that Southern California is saved, Heavenly Father. California is saved, Father God. Our nation is saved. Dear Lord God, that the world is saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Repeat after me, please. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve. I have a question for you, and it is actually the title of today's sermon. What does God see when he looks at me? What does God see when he looks at me? I want you guys to take a moment, just look within, just think for a moment, personalize it. What does God see when he looks at me? In fact, if you can just say that in your heart, say it in your head, say it silently to yourself for a moment. What does God see when he looks at me? And most likely, what you just came up with is not what God sees. Let's get into this. So we're going to look at Genesis. Our text today is Genesis 8:22. And a statement is made here. And it says here, while the earth remains, is the earth still here?
Yes.
So that means this is true, okay? While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Earth is still here, so these principles still apply. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. I want to focus today on seed time and harvest. So let's look at this. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Seed time and harvest is a principle, a universal principle, and it shall not cease. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. I want you to get that, please. It shall not cease. Now, here's something too. What you harvest is greater than what you sow. What you harvest is greater than what you sow. That's why I really, really do my best to watch what I sow, because it's going to come back. And a lot of what we're receiving in life right now, what we're receiving right now is based on the seeds we've sown. And Pastor, I don't like my harvest, but you got to go back to the seeds. You want a different harvest? Different seeds. You see that principle? Now, I want you to see this from God's perspective. So what does God see when he looks at you? First of all is this. God sees your end from the beginning. You're looking at today, he's looking at the future. He sees the end of something from the beginning. Let that sink in. Now, what he did, he placed everything in you that you need to become the person he created you to be. He has placed everything in you that you need to become the person he created you to be. He has placed everything in you that you need to become the person he created you to be. You're the right height, right skin color, right hair texture, right weight, right temperament, right personality style. Often we're trying to be someone else. We're into labels and brands with somebody else's name. I'll leave that alone. Now, when he looks at you, he doesn't see you in your seed state. He sees you in your harvest season. He doesn't see you in your seed state. Because everything is a seed. You're a seed too. He sees you in your harvest. When he saw Gideon in the Bible in the book of Judges, Gideon was very timid. He was hiding. And he says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Gideon was a little punk sissy. Read the Bible. He was. You see him shivering? Okay, God, if this is so, then God. But God says, you mighty man of valor. God saw the end from the beginning. Let me make this real practical. Can I have the first slide, please? I want to show you something. What you see here is an apple. Hallelujah. You all know what that is. Now, outside the apple, those are seeds. Now, when you plant those seeds, next slide, please, you get an apple tree that came from the seeds. Now, this is what happens. Often, we'll just look at the seed. But what we need to do is when we see the seed, don't just think of it just as a seed. Think of it as an apple tree. And then I don't want you to stop there. I want you to look at the apple itself. Can we have the next slide, please? That juicy, luscious red apple. Hallelujah. But that was a seed, became a tree, and now it's producing this apple. But see, often what we do is we just settle with the apple. But we still have to see beyond the apple. Next slide, please. Because from an apple, we get apple pie. Bless God. Bowl of vanilla ice cream right now. But let's not stop at the apple pie. What else can we get from that apple? We get apple juice. My wife's taking great care of me. Tony, you want some orange juice or some apple juice? But let's not stop there. Next slide, please. Apple sauce. All from that seed. And many times we just look at the seed. And we need to see the harvest. And it's the same way with ourselves, because God sees our end from our beginning. Many times we just stuck on that's just a seed. Do you know that archaeologists found some seeds in one of those archaeological digs in Egypt? They found some seeds. Been sitting there for 2,000 some years, and they planted those seeds, and guess what? They grew. Next slide, please. And if you're really good, if you're really good, yeah, Lord will bless you with some candy apples. Amen. But what we need to think too is that God still seeing the end of something from the beginning. So we see the seeds, but God thinks generationally. Next slide, please. He thinks of an apple orchard. See, we got to begin to think generationally. It's going to live beyond us. Now, here's the thing about God. Next slide. God often gives us what we need, though, in seed form. In seed form. And see, we'll look at what we get and we won't know what to do with it. We just see it as a seed. But what can that seed become? Your relationships are seeds. And if you steward them well, I was talking with someone yesterday about some business stuff, and they said, yeah, I talked to Elder Kelvin. And he shared some stuff with me, and it really made sense. And I went back to this guy that proposed something and said, hey, my Elder Kelvin told me this and this. He said, well, what does it have to do? See, when I first met Elder Kelvin in the hallway at Zoe Christian Fellowship, I began a relationship that was a seed. And he said, hey, you're the Duns. Thank you for being here and serving. I didn't know who he was. He was the one that ran the church. He knew me. Came up and said, thank you. And now here years later, he's serving here with us as our elder. That was a seed. But it became a harvest. And now other people are eating that fruit. Does it make sense? Everything is a seed. When you ask for an apple orchard, God is going to give you apple seeds. Rarely is he going to give you an orchard. T.D. Jakes said something recently. I sent out a link for some of you guys that are thinking along this line and where you are in life right now. And it was a long clip. It was an hour and 44 minutes. And bless God, most of you watched it. Hallelujah. But in that, Jake said something. Bishop Jake said something that blessed me. I went and added into my sermon. So as he said, a lot of you guys are asking God for furniture. You're asking God for a table. God is going to give you a tree. I got my iPad and I'm dropping that in over that. That was good. Man, that was good. Oh, that was good. And let you know, I will steal your stuff. I don't care. That was good. Let me explain something to you about seed form. Because years ago when I got to Zoe, that's when I learned I had a purpose. And I asked God, God, help me to fulfill my purpose. Next slide, please. So God, I'm sitting there, and my job was to drive a bookmobile. That's what I did for a living. I drove a truck, semi. Class A license, Class A or Class C? Lord, it's been so long I forgot. Whatever is truck driver's license, okay? What is it? A. I was an A. All right, hallelujah. A-list, hey. Okay. So that's what I did. Driving a truck. But Pastor Tony, what does it have to do with purpose? Remember, seed. Next slide, please. I didn't even like that job. But then when I began to think what I had to do was do this unto the Lord, and I began to understand it was a seed, I began to steward it well. And so that's me in the middle, and that's the bookmobile crew. Now, let me tell you something. So when I, and now, as I begin to really seek God about my purpose, pay attention to where he's placed you. Because often that's an indication of where he's going to take you. You look at where he's currently exposing you to, and that's an indication of where you're going. And a lot of times we check out too fast and we miss it. I didn't really like the job. Notice I said that. It wasn't always comfortable. If you look right there, I'm the only black guy. Well, Pastor, is that racist? No, it's not racist. There's certain things I like, certain things I'm familiar with. And by the way, I'm the only guy out of everybody, even other men, and the only one likes sports. And you see, there's a lot, I love this. Okay, stay with me. There's a lot of, y'all see, there's a lot of females right there. 8 hours a day. Now, the guy all the way at on my left at the end, the Hispanic guy with the white shirt with the dark sleeves, his name was J.R. J.R. passed away. He got cancer, and I was there to minister to him. Right before he passed away, me and Jackie were with him in the hospice, and we prayed for his salvation. He received Christ. Okay? The guy all the way on the other end, that's Ray. Ray is now 95 and a half years old. Now, I pray with Ray, too, and I visit Ray every now and then. We just had lunch with Ray to celebrate his birthday. Now, next to Ray, see next to Ray, that's my daughter-in-law. Yeah. And the others in there, I've been to the hospital with their mothers, and I mean with their children, with them. And some. I mean, that was my first flock. Look at the racial composition. And see, that's, you see, now we do everything internationally, global. See, this, I'm telling you, it's, you get stuff in seed form. So before I began to go overseas and minister, I had to minister where I was. And because I stewarded that well, I believe I did, that's why you allowed me to be here now. And not only now here now, but that's why we oversee. You saw Hope of Christ Church in South Africa, Jackie, did the women's conference there. That's a church we oversee. There's another church in Nelspruit. We oversee that one in South Africa. You know, there's one down in Brazil right now, Kerygma Church, which means to preach. It's in Portuguese, Kerygma, to preach the word, proclaim the word. And that's Pastor Ezekiel. We oversee that church. Pastor Daniel is launching out next year to see that church. We just got back from the Philippines. I've had three people email me about coming back and working with them in their churches. One guy actually had the gall, the nerves. I bless him. He asked me to come and build his church. But hey, check out. He gave me the proposal. I looked at it, and it's 440,000 pesos, $8,000. Oh, we're going to help him. Dude, I wish I could go back to America and build something for $8,000. You can't build a closet for $8,000. Can you, Ian? Think about it. Man. But now when you see that, you got to go back to this seed form. And a lot of you guys, you look at where you are and I don't like it. But why is God exposing you to that? You have to move beyond seed form. And you look at yourself right now, you just see yourself as a seed, but see yourself for what you can become. What did he put in you? My marriage, seed. My children, seed. My relationships, seed. We got to understand that God's intention is for us to grow. Job 8:7, on your handout. Job was the first book. Job was at the beginning of the Bible. And if you take one of the when I'm teaching, you know, the Bible survey class or something, we'll really get into order the books and how all this originated. But here's a statement. Watch this. And an understanding at the beginning of time. We believe Job was written around like Genesis chapter 12 during that time period, okay, with Abraham and the patriarchs. And it says this, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. But we're always looking at today. And if I can see today as a seed and steward it well, then I'm going to get that harvest. Give you an example. David, King David was a shepherd. That was in seed form. He was a little shepherd boy. Remember he killed Goliath? Seed form. But God saw a king harvest. Do you see that? Matthew. Jesus came across Matthew as a tax collector. And be a tax collector, and I think you guys, you know, Joanne Hudson, you know, Monique Bryan, Elder Kelvin, you guys appreciate this as finance people. Everything has to be in order. Detailed. Detailed. But see, I'm gonna tell you something. He was so detailed as a tax collector and keeping things in order and record keeping. God tapped him, his heart was to write the book of Matthew. Sometimes if you're a tax collector, whatever you know, you think that's all to it. No, God has more. And sometimes when our seed form state, if we steward it well, and what happens as a seed, though, we become uncomfortable. And things are not going the way we want it to go. And that's when, like, I don't like this. But see, here's the thing about a seed. A seed is just a seed until it's planted. And if you think about something being planted, guess what? It goes into a dark, cold place. No sunshine. Probably wet. Ugh. And you wonder what's going on. And then a seed begins to germinate. And it metamorphs. It changes. And often when we begin to change or somebody's making us uncomfortable or we don't want to, it's like and we're being challenged and somebody's pointing out like, hey, you need to change this. You need to modify this. And we take it personally. And they criticize me and they put me down. And you get into resistance and you stay a seed. When God has created you to be a harvest. And you get into resistance to the germination process. And then later on, you're upset and bothered. Why is not happening? God sees your end from the beginning. He gives you seed. When he looks at you, he sees a harvest. You see a seed. And the key is, in order to reach that harvest, you got to be planted. I don't want you to quit. And many of us throw in the towel because it's not going how we want it to go. Miss Mona and Elder Joyce and Jack and I went out to Indio this past Tuesday. My leg was working fine then. Okay. I just remember it was, huh? And there was a young man there, and we went out for pastor and pastors, and Pastor Obed Martinez pushed these things together. And he called a guy that's up north, and I forget, was it San Jose, Vallejo's, Palo Alto, somewhere up there, and he came somewhere in the Bay Area. He came down, and his church is 14 years old. And this past Sunday, the previous Sunday, 4,900 people were in attendance. Well, see, the thing is, for the first 7 years, his membership was 300. And he talked about how he just would cry. One time he said he was 3 years in. He just got under his desk and bawled like a kid, like a child. But the thing is, he didn't quit when he was in that seed form. Because everybody thinks they're going to be the next T.D. Jakes when you start pastoring. Everybody thinks, oh, I got the anointing. Oh, God has called me, so I must, oh, Lord Jesus. And when you jump off that shelf as just a seed, just sitting there as a seed and get into the ground and allow yourself to be planted, that germination process, it can be challenging. And many of us, everybody wake up, okay? Wake up. Hear me. God sees your harvest. You see your seed. And I want you to begin to see yourself the way God sees you because you cannot live apart from your self-perspective. You will always rise to the level of your self-perspective and go no higher. You will marry and enter relationships based on your self-perspective. And it's not healthy. You will miss out. You make decisions incorrectly because you have incorrect information. And your correct information is, what does God say I am? What thus saith the Lord? Not your friends, not your mama, not your daddy. Because sometimes we parent unaware. We parent in English, in ignorance. I'm doing next Sunday. Oh, please come to church next Sunday because I'm sorry. I can't wait till next year. I'm jumping into understanding. And that's when the enemy gets access is when we're ignorant. So we're ignorant of who we are. Guess what? We allow others to define us and we never become that harvest. But let me come back to today. Okay. Jesus made this statement. Unless a kernel of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. I don't want to die. Well, remain alone and stay a seed. That's what Jesus said. Psalms 92, and I quote this often when we're receiving, and when we're doing the altar call, not the altar call, the join the church, you know, the invitation. Psalms 92, verses 12 to 14. I'm going to close with this. Psalms 92, 12. You can turn and swipe there. What a scroll there. Amen. I learned. I go back actually faster in my Bible than I do with this iPad for whatever reason. Swipe, swipe, scroll, scroll, scroll. Ah, too far, too far. Go back, go back, go back. Okay. Psalms 92, verse 12 to 14. Reading from the New King James Version. It says this. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. But my question to you, or my statement is, before they became the trees, they were seeds. And the cedars in Lebanon, when you read the Old Testament, those are some mighty trees. That's what David used to build a temple for the Lord. So before they became these mighty cedar trees, they were seeds. And somebody had the awareness that I see a seed right there, but I know that in that seed is a cedar tree. And later on, we'll be able to build something great and mighty from that seed. Years ago, I learned my children a seed, and that's when I began to confess over them, great one. All three of them, I still call them great one. I still send a text, great one. Can you do this? Great one. What's going on with great one? Great one. See, I see the harvest. When they were just seeds. And a watering of that seed was what they were hearing. Faith comes by hearing. We'll talk about watering the seeds another time. Verse 13 here. The Bible says this. Those who are planted, say planted. Planted. One more time, say planted. Planted. Not visit, not holler, swing by. Oh, I went to check out. I went to Pete Pastor Tony last Sunday. He's all right. Yeah, they do a little something up there in New Day. Let me see if Pastor Tony in town. I don't know. He might not be in town. I rode by last time. He wasn't even there. You don't need to roll by. You need to be planted. Well, it ain't my Sunday to serve, so I'm going to take this day off. I've been working all week. That means you're elevating your work above your job, and it will always be that, just a job. You would never enter the work he created you to do. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, I was planted as Zoe. A lot of people visited. That's no criticism. It's just an observation. I just need you to hear me. A lot of people were just visiting. They come and hang out. You hear, I got some good word. I remember going in the parking lot, and before they would leave the parking lot, they got Al Green cranked up. Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, love and happiness for real? You're still not meditating on that word? He still didn't let it sink in. I would go immediately, leave, go to the bookstore, get the CD, go and pop it in my car. My son would often work the cameras for second service, let him work, and I would hear that same word again. We would take Pastor Ed's CD home, and then on Wednesday nights, just before we did life groups and all that, and I would gather my family around the table. We would play and take notes. Sometimes we would go to a series that would happen before we got to the church, and we as a family would go through that. I was planted at Zoe. I learned I had a purpose at Zoe. I learned that God is a global God. He's just not limited to the local church. See, that's what I was thinking before. Just go to church, you know, get my praise on. Hey. And that's why we were having the challenge we were. We sat down Friday night and traced back when our life turned around. And it's when we got the Zoe Christian Fellowship of Whittier. Oh, you think Pastor Ed is all that? Yeah, I do. I thank God for him. I thank God for his obedience. And that was good soil to plant myself in. It was difficult soil to plant myself in. Except you were one of the few, almost every elder or deacon or minister corrected me about something. I got so doggone tired of somebody telling me why I missed it or I'm missing it. No, do it like this. No, we want to do it like this. This is the Zoe way. But I'm so glad I was planted. Because I moved from seed form to now I'm a tree. And now this tree is producing fruit. I talked to Pastor Mark Greenhouse. They're doing amazing out there. He averages about 150 people each Sunday now. The church is only 2 years old. And the reports, I've talked to some of his people, and the reports they've been telling me, they never heard it like that. They needed that. You know, Pastor Mark, he's hardcore. He's no joke. Take no prisoners. He's a soldier. And yeah, he's all for the gun laws and all. He's intense. But there's a group of people that God has assigned them to that needed that. And it'd been foolish of me to try to keep him here. Next year, we're launching Pastor Daniel down in Brazil. See, now we're starting to produce. We had a guy that was sitting in my house the other day. He came by. We want to come up under you, Pastor Tony. We're going to start working with him in his church. But it goes back to that bookmobile. Being as Zoe, being planted, not visiting. And see, I was the type, I'll be honest, I would do two services. I sit through both of them and go to Bible study. And when did you have a chance to do life? That was my life. God is my life. Everything else revolved after that. But you like sports, Pastor Tony? Yeah, but not that much. Okay, Kobe ain't, Kobe to this day, Kobe hasn't given me a dime. I love Kobe. Kobe's amazing. I'm being, I got cable. I didn't even have cable until I heard about Michael Jordan. I got cable to watch Michael Jordan. But Mike is not going to come before Jesus. I mean, you see what I'm saying? You just got to prioritize what's important. Nothing. Well, you know, I got to. Nothing. Make it a priority. I decided to make it a priority. And the shift is, that's when the shift began. Verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. And that's the orchard. It shall be fresh and flourishing. In my latter years, I'm going to be fresh and flourishing. That's the plan. Flourishing, not getting by. Flourishing. I'm going to flourish. So I'm a tree right now. I got some apples going on. But this is what I believe God's when he sees me. Okay? Just so you'll know. I think he sees me pastoring a church in Corona that's preeminent in the city. That's the harvest. Okay, we're not there yet. He sees me leading people into a deeper walk with him. He sees me helping people discover and fulfill their purpose. He sees me developing people and helping them increase in their capacity to receive from him. He sees me and Jackie helping our spiritual children grow and become all that he created them to be. He sees me overseeing multiple churches here in Southern California. He sees me overseeing churches on other continents. He sees me helping entrepreneurs increase in their leadership skill set. He sees me producing podcasts and writing books. He sees me raising up a pastor to succeed me here at New Day. He sees me hosting week-long training so pastors from other countries and across the nation can come and grow. That's what he sees when he looks at me. So I keep myself in soil that can produce that. That's how I get in an agreement with what he's doing. So I don't see myself as Hallen and Ozzy's son. Not anymore. I don't see myself as those times my daddy was drunk and he was knocking me across the room. I don't see that as my mother enabling me and not protecting me. I don't see that little boy anymore. I don't see that little boy that was small and people want to take his lunch money when he first moved to Compton. I don't see that boy. I see a mighty man of God. I see somebody that's going to fulfill his purpose. I see somebody that come hell or high water, I'm going to do what he created me to do because no demon in hell can stop the purpose of God. The enemy can come in like a flood, but God is going to raise a standard. God will protect me. These angels are encamped around about me. Make a decision. I'm going to see myself as he sees me. I don't care what race it is. I don't care. I'm a Christian, and I have to see myself as Christ sees me. I have to see myself the same way God saw Jesus. Jesus came in a manger, a little nothing. That was in seed form. But right now, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? That's the harvest. God sees the end of something from the beginning.
So see yourself the way God sees you. See yourself, where's my harvest? What does that look like? Get that in your mind and in your heart. That's what you meditate on. That's the stronghold you got to build within yourself. Though your beginning was small, your latter end shall be greater. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads, please. Bless God. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. I know people are saying, Pastor, what must I do? Father, help them to understand the importance of being